Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi and welcome to the podcast. I'm Genuinely Grace. I hope you've had a good week and you're enjoying some of the sunshine. We're getting a little bit. We had a fantastic time at our first Sober by the Sea event. It was, you know, tiny, but just really lovely and just great to connect with people. Like-minded people, you know, it just makes so much difference. So I had a lovely testimonial from somebody who said there were so many positives I took away from the weekend. The main one being the importance of having a safe environment to be your true and authentic self without any judgment from others. I love that it was a small group who were like-minded and super supportive, and I also benefited from a super positive and high energy of the day, and how I need to live and how I tend to live at a low energy level sometimes. All the exercises, tools and activities we were given during the day to follow up will directly help me on my alcohol-free lifestyle. I'm looking forward to following up on the recommendations. I just wanted to read you that because I think, you know, I think it's so interesting that a lot of us find that from time to time we are living in that kind of low vibe energy. It's just life, isn't it? Stuff happens, and with everything that's going down at the moment, you know, sometimes it's really hard to feel optimistic and to feel kind of buoyed up. And I fully appreciate not everyone can come on one of our Sober by the Sea retreats, sadly. But, you know, we can all focus on raising our vibration. And if you think that sounds ridiculously woo-woo, you know, call it whatever you like. You know, it doesn't matter what you call it. Go and run around the park three times. Go and do some exercise. Go and, you know, do what gets you in your flow. Do what gets your energy flowing and makes you feel kind of plugged in and alive and positive. It really is about that, raising that vibe so that you can focus on the positive. Because if you allow yourself to get dragged down by everything, it's, you know, and I'm pointing a finger at myself, by the way, because we all do it. You know, you listen to too much mainstream media, and my goodness, you know, there's really tricky stuff going down. So it's very easy to feel yourself pulled down the whole time. But actually, we need to keep our energy high. So anyways, if you are able to make one of our retreats, we've got another date in, I think it's September the 4th we've put in. But I'm always open to setting up dates if people are around. So have a look at www.thesoberclub.com/events, and you'll find that info about Sober by the Sea. It's been a really interesting week news-wise, of course, in terms of alcohol and nutrition. There was that piece, very sobering piece, across all the mainstream papers about the link between alcohol and cancer. I mean, this is something I literally was in denial about. I mean, absolutely in denial. I remember that there was a health minister, wasn't it? Was it Dame Sally Davis? Have I got that name right? Probably not. Apologies if not. Anyway, it was years and years ago that I remember her talking about the link between alcohol and cancer. And I just thought, oh, how, you know, what a killjoy you are. you know, I look back now and I think, my goodness, how I was so in denial, like complete blinkers on, thinking, oh, well, as long as I'm taking my vitamins, I'm good. As it happens, I am very grateful that I took some of those vitamins and that I was eating healthily. Otherwise, goodness knows what would have happened. But we can't deny this link. It's absolutely crazy. And there was this piece that I'm sure you saw across all the press. They're saying that alcohol is estimated to have caused more than 740,000 cancer deaths around the world last year. It was 17,000 in the UK, they're saying. Experts are saying more needs to be done to highlight the link. It certainly does. They say strong evidence alcohol consumption can cause various cancers, including breast, liver, colon, rectum, larynx, esophagus. And research suggests that even low levels of drinking can increase the risk. And yet they're saying public awareness appears low, and researchers say that needs to change. That they're talking about alcohol labels, they're talking about higher taxes on alcohol, and marketing of drinks could be reduced. Well, you know my view on this. I just don't believe that that making a tax higher on something is going to make a lot of difference. I think if you're someone who doesn't have an off switch and you are fully bought into the line that it's perfectly fine and everyone does it and what's not to like and how could you possibly live your life without it, then making the tax a little higher is not going to make a difference. And just as I was in denial all those years ago, even someone telling you, actually, do you know what, there's a link with cancer, it's still not going to make a difference. What might make a difference, I believe, is if, you know, there were more options given to people who do recognise they have some kind of problem, and not just options, but encouragement to do something different. You've heard me say a ton of times, if you listen to this podcast, you know, what I believe needs to be happening when anybody first gets a glimpse of that, oh, okay, hold on a minute, this is not okay, I'm not feeling okay. From that second, there should be so much available for them. They should be exposed to so much information and positive stuff around sobriety. You know, they if you go to a GP and you admit that you're drinking too much, the response should not be, oh well, you seem fine, have an alcohol-free day. Yeah, the response should be, wow, how brilliant that you've come to that realization. Let me point you in the direction of some fantastic resources, because life is so much better without the booze. Maybe if we started, you know, producing that message, it might help. And absolutely stick a ban on all the ridiculous articles that suggest that that alcohol is good for you. And they're still coming out the whole time. This whole thing about the higher tax on alcohol, I really don't think that works. You will have also seen that piece this week about the government's food strategy. They're calling to, I haven't got the article in front of me, but the whole idea is that they're going to suggest putting a sugar tax, more of a sugar tax and a salt tax, effectively, you know, sticking 9p on the cost of a Mars bar or whatever it might be, or, you know, telling manufacturers to take salt out, to take sugar out, etc., because they're saying, you know, this is really desperately needed to help with the nation's health. I think I actually heard a report the other day where they even said, we're going to encourage doctors to prescribe fruit and veg. I mean, what? Just, well, seriously? Is that like kind of not what everyone should be talking about the whole time? I mean, how about during the, you know, first lockdown? How about we all, you know, were sent, you know, packages of, or at least those who needed it, you know, dark green leafy veg and you know, vitamin C. You know, I'm going to try not to get into a rant here, but seriously, it's not going to make a difference. If people are addicted, and that's what it is, addicted to junk food and addicted to sugar, then whether there's 9p on the cost of a Mars bar or not is not going to make a difference. And I just think they need to think differently about this. And some of you may know, I've mentioned her before, Dr. Bumi Abo-Abba, who is a food addiction coach. And she, you know, she really works with this at the heart of this. She had her own struggles with both alcohol and with food. And she realized that when she'd gotten through the addiction to alcohol, that her next addiction was to junk food and sugar and anything that kind of numbed out the whatever was going on for a little while, anything that just calmed everything down for a time. And she was able to, you know, overcome this. And she now works with people to help them recognise this is an addiction, but you can overcome it. There are ways of overcoming it. Gastric bans and you know, banning people from eating and even raising taxes is not going to make a massive difference. So do check out Bumi's work, thefoodaddictioncoach.co.uk. She's doing some great stuff. Really, Bumi and her team of experts should be in schools. This stuff should be on the curriculum, and I think that is something they're finally talking about. So that is a step, you know, in the right direction. I really hope that happens. But you know, my biggest fear about this whole idea that they have is that it will just force manufacturers to put artificial sweeteners in everything, and we know that they're terrible, right? So that's not going to work. If they can't put sugar in something, they'll just stick a load of artificial sweeteners, and then we're kind of just as badly off. Anyways, right, let's get to today's podcast. During the week, we did a session for Sober Club members with Tim van der Vliet, who is just the most fantastic breathing expert. I've known Tim for years. He's a Wim Hof Method trainer. He has his own techniques that he uses. He teaches people all over the world. And Tim has a new course coming out called Control Your Breath, Control Your Life. I think that's the title. Anyways, he did a great session for us in the Sober Club, and I can't share all of it with you because it wouldn't be quite right for a podcast because we get into some deep breathing and meditation stuff. But I thought it'd be really nice to give you a little sample of it. I think that the last signups for his course are kind of this weekend. So if you're listening to this podcast on the day it comes out, then if you're interested, you know, make sure you still go and have a look. And in any case, check out Tim's work. But you do get a little chance to do a little bit of a deep breathing exercise. So if you are driving, just a heads up, you know, I don't want anyone falling asleep. So don't listen to the deep breathing bit if you're operating machinery or driving. That's the disclaimer. Enjoy this little section of our interview that we did as a special Q&A for the Sober Club.
My name is Tim van der Vliet. I am from Holland. I live in Amsterdam. I'm a lot in the UK before work. I'm a father of 5 children, and I love what I do. And what I do at this moment is I am, this is where most people know me from. I am an instructor in the Wim Hof Method. That's the Iceman, the guy that does these ridiculous things. And he's a friend of mine. And about 6-7 years we met, and I became an instructor in the course. And then about 4 years ago, I literally, Janie, decided I want to travel the world being paid.
Very good.
I'm now in Brazil for 11 days courses every day. After I hang up with you, I have to run down because the national television here, it's like there's the 2 best watched programs. One of them, they want to interview me. So I'm going to be on national TV in Brazil.
Great. Amazing. Ooh. Amazing. So just before we get into the breathwork stuff, which, you know, I know you're going to share with us, you know, there'll be lots of people who are thinking, oh, wow. OK, so Tim does trains people in the Wim Hof Method. As you say, that's the Iceman guy. That means I have to have cold showers. Just for anyone who's immediately thinking, you know, shall I try that? Shan't I try that? How long do I have to be in the cold shower for? Just give us a couple of minutes on this, please.
Yes. And so I differ from Wim. And I've found out, being a Wim Hof Method instructor, there's a lot more about breath work than the Wim Hof Method. This is also when my YouTube channel started growing, because there's so much more. So some people say that I'm a breathing expert. I call myself a breathing nerd. I'm always into research more. And there's a big difference. So there's more breathing techniques than the Wim Hof Method. That's one difference. Another difference is that I'm way less intense than Wim. So my barista job, you could say, is the Wim Hof Method. It brings in the money. And then my own path, it's called Tim's Techniques, which is basically the power of baby steps and light training. And it's a lot about breathing, but not only breathing. It's exercises that are extremely light, from 2 to 5 minutes every day. A lot about breathing, because this is what the world needs at this moment. And my cold training consists of, it's always optional, you know, you do what you want to do, but ending your shower cold, 30 seconds. That is more than enough. You don't have to plunge into an ice bath and sit there 2 minutes. I mean, you're welcome on one of my courses, but that is not what per se works.
30 and seconds is doable, right?
Totally. It's just 2 deep breaths. And maybe also, you know, you want to tell me, like, very shortly, like, where I'm from, because I've been working in the financial world. As a trader, you know, the guys with colored jackets screaming buy and sell and stuff like that, the trading floor, the trading pit. So I kind of know what stress is, and anxiety, and like losing your money and making it again and then losing it again and things like that, you know. So that's my background. And around 13 years ago, I got out of the financial world and I became an author, just like you, Janie, a Hay House author. And this is when I started teaching and I went to the UK a lot. And this is also how Janie and I know each other. And Janie, you've actually been my coach for a while also.
Yes. We've known each other a long time, haven't we now? So, I mean, it's a fascinating journey, and it's been great seeing how it's all developed. And I think for the kind of people that, you know, I'm reaching out to all the time, this stuff is just so important, because so many people find that they get to a point in their life where they recognize they've been drinking too much or taking drugs or whatever it is. And they reach a point where they think enough, something has to change. And often at that point, when they ditch the booze, when they start to become a bit more self-aware, when they become more conscious, and perhaps even start to like themselves a little bit more, they do become aware that they can take back some control. You know, when we're drinking, I genuinely believe that we have this sense that everything's happening to us, everything's being done to us, and we have no control of it. And our thoughts are racing away and the anxiety is huge. And when we can just take a pause, we can recognize that we can take back control. And I know that's everything you talk about is how we can use the power of the breath. So it's so timely, this stuff, for many of us here. So just tell us a little bit, you know, I'll let you get into your main thing. And you were saying, as we started this, you know, you often sort of say to people, are you breathing? Right. And of course, there's going to be people sort of listening to this thinking, well, how are we going to talk for this amount of time about breathing? Okay, I'm breathing, end off.
I'm so aware that this job that I have is a ridiculous job. You know, like I teach people how to breathe. You know, can it be more weird than that? And I do a lot of corporate courses also. So even especially in the corporate world, it's very weird to talk about breathing. But it is essential. So when we are born, we breathe perfect. All babies breathe perfect. And around 7 years old, this is where our mind starts developing, or our ego starts to build, whatever you want to make of it. This is where we move our belly breath to the chest breath. This is also probably where the first moments of anxiety and little traumas, or maybe big traumas, are remembered. You know, those first years, we are perfect. And then I know it's probably necessary to build up that ego, and then at a certain moment in life, you know, diminishing it and taking control over your life, which is more than breathing, but it is also very simply done by knowing how to breathe and being able to breathe. And does that
No, it does. Absolutely. And I mean, one thing it's worth remembering for us all is that when we get very anxious and stressed, we don't breathe properly. You know, we get very, you know, certainly if we're nervous, we can forget to breathe.
So basically how you control your life by controlling your breath is this idea. We cannot control external events. I mean, nobody would have guessed what has happened last year, for example. Yeah,
exactly.
But you can control your reaction to an external event. And this is done by breathing. Very simply said, you know, by slowing down your breathing. So if you take two words away from this meeting, it's breathe slowly. Because what happens if we engage with stress? And I'm a specialist in stress because I've put like, I don't count, but 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people in an ice bath. Now, what is the normal reaction? It's 80% anxiety or even panic. And I've learned myself that also with my own training and by guiding others, that you can go from anxiety or even extreme panic attacks into total calmness in 1 minute time. And this is by the ability to slow down your breathing. Because what happens if we engage with stress? There's like two forms of stress. The stress that we make up, I believe that's, in my case, 99%. But say it's 90%, and 10% of the time we have like serious stress, like something happens basically. For our body, you know, the reaction of our body is exactly the same. What happens? We start to breathe high in the chest, and in an extreme anxiety or even panic attack, we start to hyperventilate like that. And within no time, and it starts with your awareness off, you know, I experience stress, watch your breath, and then the ability to slow down your breathing. And I will share like a tip how to do that. And this is tested with, say, over 3,000 people in an ice bath where the reaction is anxiety as a norm, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you've explained that really well, because, you know, we're all sort of becoming much more aware of this kind of fight or flight feeling, isn't it? So if we, you know, if we get super stressed about something, you know, we can feel our heart racing. We can, as you say, the breathing gets really shallow. But actually, the reality is there isn't actually a tiger. You know, there's almost never a tiger. It feels like panic and stress, but it isn't really. It's just that our unconscious mind doesn't know that. So it's super bad for us to constantly be in that state of, in inverted commas, stress. So we have to find a way of you know, telling our unconscious mind, it's okay.
And another thing is that what we kind of learn these days is to run away from stress. Yeah, to, ooh, there's stress, the other way.
Or oops, I'll have a drink instead, I'll numb out.
Well, that's also running away, definitely.
Yeah.
And the thing is that stress is only bad if it's in the so-called red level. Like we within our sympathetic nervous system, that fight or flight, we have like a green level and we have a red level. You know, some people are lawyers, for example. That's for most people in the red level, but for you, that's in the green level. You stay calm while other people panic. Now you can train that green level to become bigger by instead of running away from stress, facing it, watching your breath, and use the trick that we're going to talk about, which is called 4-2-8 breathing. It's one of the very simple 1 minute tricks that you can do to recover your breath. And by being able to slow down your breath, you will see that 90% of the time this stress is just made up in your head, or in that other 10%, you stay calm and you know what to do. You probably know Jenny. Yeah, you know David Hamilton. It's a good friend of yours. And I use the same story of two best friends are walking in the jungle and suddenly this tiger is standing in front of them. And both of them completely freak out. And then one of them is very calm and starts doing his shoelaces. And the other one is looking down at him and screaming to his best friend, "What are you doing? Do you think you can outrun a tiger?" And he looks up and says very calmly, "No, but I can outrun you." This guy is clearly the one who knew how to slow down his breathing. He stayed calm.
Good. Take it away. Show us your top first tip.
So please also use this when other people are panicking. So what is happening if somebody is truly panicking? And this is happening on a micro level as well. When we experience stress, we start to breathe higher in the chest and more. Now, what is happening, that hyperventilation, is because your mind is thinking, oh my God, stress, I don't have enough oxygen, so I have to breathe more. So you want to trick the mind back that you actually have enough oxygen. So if somebody is like hyperventilating, it's like in, out, eyes wide open, total stress. You start to breathe with them. You say in, out, breathe in deeper and make it a little bit longer. In deeper, out longer, keep on breathing, and then deep in and hold. 1, 2, and then breathe out slower. Yeah, so what is happening? First, you join this person with breathing. And then by holding it for 2 counts, you trick the brain like, oh my God, oxygen, I'm okay. And then you extend your breath out. You make it longer. And calming down starts with breathing out longer. Yeah, so if you're just like, I feel stressed, you can also just and breathe out longer. So this is my technique that I've called 4-2-8. Simply said, breathe in for 4, hold for 2, and breathe out for 8. Mm-hmm. Shall we practice that?
Yeah, let's do it.
So what you can do is just close your eyes. And I know we don't have like a panicky moment now, which is a good thing, of course. But just imagine that you are, you want to slow down. And even though you're pretty relaxed now, you can just feel your heart rate or just feel your the state of your body. And then we're going to do 4 rounds of 4-2-8, which is basically 1 minute. And just check in with yourself now. How do you feel? And then we're going to do the same in a minute time. So I'm just going to guide you. I'm going to breathe in for 4, hold for 2, breathe out for 8. Please breathe in for 2, 3, 4. Hold for 2, breathe out for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. In 2, 3, 4, hold, and out for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. A little bit slower. Breathe in for 2, 3, 4. Hold, and breathe out for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Last one, even slower. Breathe in. 4, 2, 3, 4, hold, and breathe out as slow as you can, like breathing out through a straw. This was 4 rounds, I believe. Please keep your eyes closed and feel if something changed in 1 minute time. Because you always want to test what somebody is telling you. Maybe it works for you, maybe it doesn't. Don't believe everything that people say. I know I don't have to say that. But... So, Janie, are you still there?
Hello. I am. I find it amazing, actually, how quickly that gives a such a different feeling, such a different response. I heard a meditation teacher said to me once, you can change your life with one breath. And I didn't really get what that meant at the time, but I think I'm starting to.
And if we talk, I've been a spiritual teacher and a meditation teacher, and I exchange this for being a breathwork instructor. Because it's a shortcut, you know, like this is one of the benchmarks I do with my groups, you know, that's also in my course. Slow down your breathing and count how many times you breathe in a minute time. And then like 5 minutes later, we test it again and you can breathe twice as slow. Now, what is the secret behind meditation? The ability to slow down your breathing. In 1 minute time, and I have groups of, it's really wide range of people, a lot of men, a lot of strong men with tattoos, especially here in Brazil, you know, and within 1 minute time, the energy from Brazil and a lot of expression and frustration and a lot of joy also changes into an energy of a Tibetan monastery of Tibetan monks that have 30,000 hours of meditation experience in 1 minute time, because everybody is really, really slowing down their breath. And then 5-10 minutes or half an hour later, it's even twice or 3 times slower. It's the big secret. And this is why I do what I do. I bring it out, and in a grounded way, because, you know, a lot of the breathwork instruction is into the fairy, into the unicorns and the rainbows and stuff like that. And I keep it very grounded. I'm a very intuitive person, but also I want to stay very, very rational. Don't believe what I say. Test it for yourself.
You're listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, and this is a section from a live interview and Q&A that was done for Sober Club members. So Tim actually went on and did some other breathing exercises with us, which would be too long to play here on the podcast. But I ended up by asking Tim to explain a little bit about his course that he is about to launch, which starts off with small group sessions and then becomes an online course.
First of all, I want to start with level one, which is control your breath, control your life. You know, by controlling your breath, you can control, you cannot control external events, although that is the question, you know, if you go spiritual, but you can control your reaction to it. And this is like everything that I know about breathing. And the transformation is either stress relief, more happier hormones, you know, on that side, but also a better sports performance, if that's important for you. You know, so if your partner is like a runner and you teach him the methods that you will learn, he will be stronger in running, or maybe you are a runner. That level one, I thought like, okay, how will I start out? You know, an online course, of course, but how do I know that I get like the best out there? So I start out with online group coaching. And this is where I have a lot of experience with when it comes to the corporates that I teach, you know, like from Tesla to the bigger banks and like the central bank in the Netherlands and stuff like that, you know, like, so I know that those online group coaching things really work, where you take people week by week, like one session every week, 90 minutes, that's all the material. But for me personally, I get feedback. So you get a lot of personal attention. I get feedback and I know I will put the online course out that is just the best in the world because it's tested with a group of...
So you can have a fairly small group to start with.
Yeah. Maximum 16 people in one group, and I'm now at 30 people. And we're starting Saturday, 17th July. There's 2 dates, or Wednesday, 21st of July. So I have 3 groups of max 16 people.
Okay.
And you get 6 weeks online group coaching. Then the online course will be ready at the end. You will get lifetime access to that as well. And what I said, I'm continuously finding out new stuff. So there will be updated for the rest of my life, basically. You know, so if you do this course and 3 years later you check the online course, there will very likely be new developments in the breathing world and also in the course. But also what I find really important is to really help people. So afterwards, I have aftercare sessions, like 1 month and 3 months afterwards. How are you doing? Were you able to implement it? Where are your problems? You know, so, you know, like just online is not good enough for me. I want to stay in contact with people. This is also why I give my physical courses, but also how I do the group coaching. So I actually know the people, where they're from and what they need and stuff like that. So I'm not sure. Is that like...
No, that's great. I mean, we've put the link to your course in the chat box as well, and I'll make sure people know on an email. But just kind of in a sentence then, if someone were to you know, if someone takes up your offer to do this course, what do they come away with? What's the kind of the main benefit for them?
I think the main benefit for me is stress relief. There's all these physical benefits and everything is backed up by science, you know, like dopamine and serotonin and stuff like that. But, you know, if we have less stress, we become happier.
Yeah.
You know, the key to happiness, what is less happy? More stress is less happy. Less stress is more happy, right?
Yeah.
What is the key to less stress? Being able to slow down your breathing. So, you know, like there's of course more in my 6 week program than just slowing down your breathing, but there's all these techniques from the awareness of belly or chest breathing, nose or mouth, very light exercise that gives you energy. Because of the exercise, you probably don't drop weight, it's just 2 minutes, for example, but because of your energy change through the day, you will, you know, like lose weight, get more happy hormones. But the most important for me personally is stress relief. You can use that to go from a bad place to a good place, say from a burnout to I'm okay again, but also because we all have stress, you know, and if you're able to handle more stress, you can even go from good to great and be able to put more on your to-do list without freaking out, basically, and become that, you know, that for me, it's like my head and the spirits, but also my feet on the ground, to be productive in a way that works for you, makes you happy, enough free time, but also productive, so you get to whatever it is that your purpose is.
Love
you
that.
Share what you need to share, basically, in this world, to do what you're born to do.
Yeah, I love that. We've been talking so much about that recently. So amazing to watch people transform. They ditch the booze and then they start to go, wow, there's something I've always wanted to do, or I really, you know, stepping into my purpose now. And you're absolutely right. When you can take back the control over your stress levels, it's gonna change everything. Amazing.
On one hand, this is very simple. On the other hand, you know, like I'm a very experienced breathwork instructor. I teach like almost every weekend somewhere in the world. Mm. But also I can learn more. So
yeah.
And there's also some techniques are extremely simple that will work immediately. And maybe you will become like a real nerd like me, you know. And then if you want, you can go to level 2 and 3, which is becoming a breathing instructor, you know, if you're looking for a new job. It's amazing. But, you know, I'm focusing now on
one thing at a time. Yeah.
People are already saying, like, I want the 3 levels, you know, like, so I'm designing that already because that's really what people need.
Brilliant.
And it's very nice to have people tell me what to do.
Yeah. So thank you, Tim. Thank you so much for sharing this with us. And we really appreciate it. Wish you all the best with the course and hope some of the guys decide to join in and come back at some point. And, you know, maybe when you've done level 1, maybe you come back and do another little sample for us and see if anyone wants to scale up. So if you are interested in grabbing one of those last places available, have a look at the show notes. You'll find the link to the course there and use the code Janie. Or if you go to thesoberclub.com, just scroll down to the blogs and you'll see the little video there with Tim and the link to the course, and use the code Janie and you get an extra discount. So a course that would normally be, I think, something like €600, you get for less than €290, something like that. It's a massive discount. So if you're interested and you're in time, have a look at that. I forgot to mention that as part of our Sober by the Sea day, we had some lovely alcohol-free drinks and some lovely goodie bags as well. So we have to say a big thanks to Walida, who gave us some lovely bags and these gorgeous little eco cups and some lovely little moisturizer samples, and also to Essential Blends. We had these lovely aromatherapy rollers. They're so cool. And of course, we had lovely alcohol-free drinks. There are lots of competitions to win drinks, so make sure you catch up on some of those. I interviewed Richard from Drinks last week, and we've got a whole case of the smashed drinks to give away. So make sure you check out both the websites, thesoberclub.com and imperfectlynatural.com, where you can find those competitions. As always, if you have suggestions of great guests for me, please let me know. I'd always love hearing from you and hearing what's going on. I do say, you know, in my course, I have a course called Get the Buzz Without the Booze, which you is drip fed. If you decide to join the Sober Club, you get elements of that course. Well, you get the whole course. And I say in there, one of the very first things you should do if you're right at the beginning of this journey is tell someone else. Just hold yourself accountable. Because for years I told myself, oh, I think I'm going to stop drinking. Oh, I won't drink today. But, you know, by 6 o'clock, the wine witch is there telling you it's a really good idea to have a drink. And if you've told no one else, you aren't accountable at all. So, of course, I'd love it if you want to join us in the Sober Club. And we'll absolutely hold you accountable in a totally non-judgmental way. But if that's not right for you, there's loads of platforms, there's loads of groups you can think about joining. But whatever you do, tell someone that you you know, that you're doing this, and ask them to just be your champion. You can always drop me a message. I'm absolutely willing to hold the vision for you. So whatever stage you're at, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Make sure you share it and tell your friends if you've found it helpful. And I'll see you same time next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.